In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have created this video with the purpose of making Saint Joseph known, so that there are many who can love him more by getting to know him better. The greatness of Saint Joseph is above that of all the saints and angels. After the Virgin Mary, he is the holiest saint, the one who has been closest to divinity. He has touched with his own hands the God made flesh and has been able to truly tell him, "You are my son." When the Holy Family fled to Egypt, they had to make a long and dangerous journey through the desert for about 20 days. According to an ancient tradition, they settled in Matariya, also known as Al-Matariya, on the outskirts of Cairo, near Heliopolis, which is about 310 miles or 500 kilometers from Bethlehem. Saint Joseph, taking the child Jesus to Egypt, thus becomes the first missionary. Perhaps for this reason, it was not by chance that Christianity flourished in Egypt in the first centuries, giving rise to great theologians and holy monks such as Origen, Saint Cyril of Alexandria, Saint Anthony the Abbot, and so many thousands of monks who lived in the desert of the Thebaid or Thebais, totally giving their lives to prayer and to the service of God. Perhaps for this reason, it is also no coincidence that the veneration of Saint Joseph developed in Egypt much earlier than in other places. There are some theologians and saints who are of the opinion that Saint John the Baptist and Jeremiah were sanctified in their mother's wombs, and that this must be said with much more reason about Saint Joseph. This is affirmed, among others, by the friar Isidoro di Isolano, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, and the Venerable Mary of Jesus of Agreda, also known as the Abbess of Agreda, who says, "Saint Joseph was sanctified in his mother's womb 7 months before his conception," and she continues by saying, "I have understood some privileges that due to his great holiness, the Most High granted him for those who invoke him as an intercessor. The first is to attain the virtue of chastity and to overcome the dangers of carnal sensuality. The second, to reach powerful aids to get out of sin and return to the friendship of God. The third, to achieve through him the grace of devotion to Mary Most Holy. The fourth, to achieve a good death, and at that time, defense against the devil. The fifth, that the demons themselves were afraid to hear the name of Saint Joseph. The sixth, to attain bodily health and remedy in other works. The seventh privilege, to achieve succession of children in families. These and many other favors God grants to those who duly and appropriately ask him through the intercession of Saint Joseph. And I ask all the faithful children of the Holy Church to be very devoted to him, and they will know these favors by experience if they dispose themselves as appropriate to receive and deserve them." One of the special privileges granted by God to Saint Joseph, according to some saints, is that of his assumption into heaven, body and soul. This is confirmed by Saint Peter Damian, Saint Bernardino of Siena, Saint Francis de Sales, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, the Venerable Mary of Jesus of Agreda, and others. For what reason? Because Christ is, above all, Redeemer of his parents, whom he loved with a total love, and whom he sanctified with such fullness that he made them a prototype of the rest of the redeemed. Furthermore, because Joseph had a very special universal mission, and because it seems reasonable that the Holy Family, predestined to begin a divine life of the human lineage before all the others, also begin the glorious life of the resurrection before all the others. Saint Peter Damian, who lived from 1007 to 1072, speaks of the Assumption of Saint Joseph in the Sermon on Saint John the Baptist. The Venerable Bernardino de Bustis reports that while Saint Bernardino of Siena was preaching in the city of Padua in 1444 on the Assumption of Joseph, body and soul, into heaven, they saw on the head of the holy preacher a cross like gold, dazzling, giving off enchanting rays of light. He was saying the following: "One must devoutly believe, but not affirm as of faith, that the most benign Jesus, Son of the living God, with equal privilege, adorned his adoptive father as his most holy mother, and that just as, when the most holy virgin died, he took her body and soul to heaven, so on the day that Jesus was resurrected, he took with him the just patriarch Saint Joseph, with the glory of the resurrection, so that just as that holy family, namely Christ, Mary, and Joseph, lived together on earth a laborious life and in accordance with grace, so with loving glory they may reign in heaven in body and soul." Saint Leonard of Port Maurice affirms, "Saint Joseph, when he died, was transported to the Empyrean body and soul by a particular privilege noted in the Proverbs: all those in his house are dressed in a double stole. That is to say, those of the family of the strong woman, or of the Virgin Mary, wear a double stole, the sacred interpreters understanding by double stole the glorification of the soul and the body." The Venerable Mary of Jesus of Agreda, who lived from 1602 to 1665, says, "On the day of the resurrection, with all beauty and glory, our Savior rose from the tomb, and in the presence of the saints and patriarchs, promised the human lineage the universal resurrection, as effect of his, on the very flesh and body of each one of the mortals, and that in his the righteous would be glorified. As pledges of this promise, and as hostages of the universal resurrection, he commanded his majesty to the souls of many saints who were there to join their bodies and resurrect them to immortal life. Immediately, this divine empire was executed, and the bodies resurrected, anticipating the mystery Matthew refers to in chapter 27, verse 52. And among them were Saint Anne, Saint Joseph, and Saint Joachim, and others of the ancient fathers and patriarchs, who were more distinguished in the faith and hope of the Incarnation, and with greater eagerness they desired it and asked the Lord. And in return for these works, the resurrection and glory of their bodies were brought before them." Saint Francis de Sales says, "We must not doubt in any way that this glorious saint enjoys much credit in heaven before the one who favored him so much, to the point of elevating him there in body and soul, which is all the more probable since no relic remains of him on earth. And it seems to me that no one can doubt this, because how could he who was obedient to him throughout his life deny Saint Joseph this grace? And if it is true, which we must believe, that by virtue of the most holy sacrament that we receive, our bodies will resurrect on the day of judgment, how can we doubt that he made the glorious Saint Joseph rise with him to heaven, body and soul, who had the honor and had received the grace to carry him so often in his arms, in which our Lord took so much pleasure? There is therefore no doubt that Saint Joseph is in heaven, body and soul. How happy we would be if we deserved to have a part in his holy intercessions, because nothing is denied, neither by Our Lady nor by her glorious husband." It is interesting to note that Pope St. John XXIII, in the homily delivered on the Feast of the Ascension on May 26, 1960, on the occasion of the canonization of St. Gregorio Barbarigo, he expressed his personal opinion that St. Joseph is in heaven in body and soul, and he put it forth as acceptable opinion. He literally said in Italian, "Così pimenti noi possiamo credere," meaning in English, "so we can piously believe." Of course, the Assumption of Saint Joseph is not a dogma of faith, but we hope that it will be in the not too distant future. On June 7, 1660, a shepherd took refuge with his animals in the shade of the trees on the Bessalon Hill, in the municipality of Cotignac in France. He was thirsty because it was very hot. Suddenly, a man of imposing build appeared in front of him and, pointing to a rock, said, "I am Joseph. Pick up that rock and you'll drink." "I can't, it's too heavy," the shepherd replied. "You will and can," St. Joseph said. Then the shepherd approaches and with great surprise moves the rock on the first try, and a fountain of water begins to flow in the place. The shepherd runs and drinks greedily. When he gets up, the man had disappeared. The shepherd runs to announce the news to the town, where nobody believes him. But some people decide to follow him to see the supposed spring. Upon arrival, everyone shouts with joy because the water has been flowing in abundance for 3 hours, and everyone notes that the rock that the shepherd moved so easily does not move if it is not pushed by at least 8 men together. Then the shepherd becomes aware of the strength that was given to him by heaven and exclaims, "The one who was there was Saint Joseph. He gave me strength." Everyone kneels and gives thanks to Saint Joseph. Subsequently, the cures obtained by the application of miraculous water attract crowds to the Basilan Hill. The veneration of Saint Joseph, until then non-existent in the region, gained extraordinary momentum and quickly spread throughout the area. And with the donations received and with the approval of the Bishop of Fréjus, a chapel is built on the site. The King of France, Louis XIV, decreed that from that moment, the Feast of Saint Joseph would be a public holiday throughout the Kingdom of France. The following year, on March 19, 1661, the King consecrated France to Saint Joseph. On August 21, 1879, the Virgin Mary appears in the Irish village of Knock. To her right was Saint Joseph, and to her left, St. John the Evangelist. These apparitions were approved by the Church, and the sanctuary of Our Lady of Knock, also known as Knock Shrine, is now Ireland's National Marian Shrine. In the apparitions of Fatima, the Virgin Mary told the three little shepherds on September 13, 1917, "Continue praying the rosary to reach the end of the war. In October, Our Lord, Our Lady of Sorrows, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and Saint Joseph with the child Jesus will also come to bless the world." And the expected date arrived, and the last of the apparitions happened on October 13, 1917, which was the day of the great miracle of the sun, seen up to 31 miles or 50 kilometers away from the place by more than 100,000 people. The servant of God, Sister Lucia of Fatima, says in her memoirs, "Mary, opening her hands, made them reflect in the sun. And as she rose, she continued to reflect her own light, projecting into the sun. Our Lady disappeared in the immense distance of the firmament. We saw Saint Joseph with the child, and Our Lady, dressed in white with a blue mantle, next to the sun. Saint Joseph with the child seemed to bless the world with some gestures that they made with their hands in the form of a cross. Shortly after, this apparition faded. We saw the Lord and Our Lady, who gave me the idea of being Our Lady of Sorrows. Our Lord seemed to bless the world in the same way as Saint Joseph. This apparition vanished, and I seemed to still see Our Lady in a similar way to Our Lady of Mount Carmel." In Zeytun, a suburb of Cairo in Egypt, where according to tradition the Holy Family was, Our Mother, the Virgin Mary, appeared from April 2, 1968 to September 1970 in the exterior dome of a Coptic church. They were apparitions that everyone could see. Sometimes as many as 100,000 people gathered, and the apparitions lasted from a quarter of an hour to 2 hours or more. On June 8, 1968, it lasted from 9 at night until 4 in the morning. She didn't speak, but she smiled at everyone. Muslims, Jews, Copts, atheists, Catholics, and Christians of different denominations met there. On some occasions, the Virgin Mary appeared surrounded by angels, but on two occasions, she also came as the Holy Family with Saint Joseph and the infant Jesus. Her message, without words, was clear to everyone. She was the mother of all, and she wanted to save and bless everyone in union with Jesus and Saint Joseph. On May 13, 1944, the Virgin Mary appears with the child Jesus and Saint Joseph in Giai di Bonate, province of Bergamo in Italy, she is called the Virgin of the Family. The Virgin Mary appeared to the 7-year-old girl, Adelaide Roncalli. On 6 occasions, between May 13th and July 13th of this year, 1944, the miracle of the sun took place, which was seen by thousands of people and was captured by the Astronomical Observatory of Venice, more than 124 miles or 200 kilometers from the place, and of which the newspaper spoke the next day. The Virgin Mary asked for prayer and penance for the conversion of sinners. Saint Joseph and the child Jesus did not speak, but they smiled sweetly. It is important to note here about the supposed apparitions of the Virgin Mary in Itaperanga, Brazil, in 1994. She appears to the 17-year-old Edson Glauber. On some occasions, the Virgin Mary appeared to him with the baby Jesus in the arms of Saint Joseph. She also spoke to him about the consecration to the Most Chaste Heart of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph appeared with a heart on his chest, and inside his heart there was an M with a cross, symbolizing Mary and Jesus, as if the three hearts were always united. In these apparitions in Brazil, not yet approved by the Church, like those of Giai di Bonate, she spoke to the young man of the veracity of the apparitions of Giai di Bonate, of which the young man had not even heard of or knew the place, but his spiritual director, an Italian priest, did know. Young Edson has visited Giai di Bonate and had some apparitions of the Virgin Mary over there, who asks for the recitation of the Holy Rosary and much prayer and penance to save sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.